This edition of the Generations Radio Program originally aired in 2007. For additional shows on hundreds of topics, search our archives at generations.org.
Welcome to Generations, friends. Kevin Swanson with you, Executive Director for Christian Home Educators, also a pastor. But the reason I broadcast, I'm a father of five, and I'm trying to salvage faith, family, and freedom for the next generation or two. That's what I believe God has called me to in a few years that I live on this earth. I want to see these values restored and recovered. And you know, folks, since the 1970s and 1980s, I haven't been the only guy doing this. Several men have risen up as prophets in this generation to remind us of our heritage and our departure from that heritage of faith, family, and freedom, which America has stood for more than any other nation. Well, those prophets include guys like David Barton, R.J. Rush Dooney, and Marshall Foster. In just a moment, we're going to talk to Marshall Foster. I've known him since the 1980s. He's the author of the book, The American Covenant. But please understand, folks, that the unique heritage of this country is unlike any other nation. In the midst of the rising humanist torrents of the 1500s and 1600s, one nation maintained a strong Christian beginning. One nation received the very best of American European Christian heritage. Even as Europe was horrible, corrupted with humanism in the 1500s and 1600s, one nation received the most self-consciously biblical Christianity from the Reformation period. One nation on earth retained a theocentric, a God-centered view, while everybody else was turning man-centered and polytheistic in the 1500s and 1600s. One nation had great Christian leaders like George Washington, Patrick Henry, John Adams, and James Madison. No other nation on earth, folks, could claim to have leaders like these. One nation, ladies and gentlemen, one nation under God turned out to be America. You have a heritage unlike any other. My friends, if you're listening to this program, the United States of America, you have been blessed with a heritage unlike any other heritage. All the way back from the 1500s and 1600s. We have today, ladies and gentlemen, hundreds of thousands of Christians in this country, mostly homeschoolers and some Christian schooling families who have received this heritage. They love this heritage. They live this heritage. Of course, it's true that 300 million plus have rejected it. They don't want it. They don't want the beautiful heritage that this nation formed, a nation that became the most God-blessed, most prosperous nation on the face of the earth. They enjoy the blessings, of course, but they hate the heritage that produced the blessings. But, okay, I told you 300 million have rejected it. Yes, but here's the exciting news. Hundreds of thousands are receiving it. They have not rejected it. And this remnant has grown from just a couple of thousands in the 1980s to hundreds of thousands today that have received this heritage. These are men and women who love the heritage. They love to read the Puritans and the Pilgrims that founded this nation. They read the Bradfords, the Cotton Mathers, the Winthrops, and others. The solid Christian men and women that formed this nation in the 1600s and 1700s, they read these people, and they love their writings, and they love their principles, and they embrace their heritage. Folks, these are generationally future-minded families. I think they're building another Mayflower, and that's why I wrote my book, The Second Mayflower. They're building a nation out of this one that will come back to the principles that undergirded this nation. It's a vision for faith, family, and freedom, folks, and it's not dead. Despite the fact the faith has dissipated, the family is decimated. You know the family's decimated. It hardly exists anymore. Freedom is a lost concept to most of the 300 million people in this country. But in a moment, a hopeful message from Marshall Foster. The vision is not dead. We'll be back in a moment.
Ever Ever since the creation of the Garden of Eden, Satan has been working his hardest to erase the knowledge of God and seduce the creatures made in God's image to think that they are the center of the universe. One look at today's society and you see his progress. Humanistic thought has inundated our culture, and we can trace its roots directly back to the classroom and the textbooks we're setting in front of our kids. That's why every Christian homeschool parent should have a curriculum that's not only rock solid academically, but most importantly will point students back to their Creator as the source of all wisdom and knowledge, and to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. If you've been struggling to find such a curriculum, look no further. Here at Generations, we've spent over 15 years developing our Christian discipleship curriculum to help Christian homeschool parents like you pass on the faith to your children by teaching a God-centered view of life and integrating the Bible into every lesson. Our goal is to not only help you meet your students' academic needs, but also to assist you in discipling your children for generations to come. So get started today with our Christian discipleship curriculum and watch your children marvel, learn, and mature as they embark on a God-focused learning adventure to discover more about the world around them and the one who made it all. You can learn more about our curriculum resources and pick up our newly released fifth grade curriculum pack today at generations.org/curriculum. That's generations.org/curriculum.
Folks, back on Generations, this is Kevin Swanson with you. Today with me is Dr. Marshall Foster, an old friend of this program and myself. We've been in ministry together for a long time. And Marshall Foster is the founder and president of Mayflower Institute. Back in the 1980s, Dr. Foster wrote the book, The American Covenant. And I remember picking that book up, and that profoundly influenced me. And I wound up writing a book called The Second Mayflower. So you've been quite an example for me, Dr. Foster. Thank you, and welcome to the program.
Well, it's a joy to be with you, Kevin, always, and by God's grace, we can change the world together.
Amen. Amen. Now, you wrote the book, The American Covenant, back in the 1980s. Obviously, you believe this nation was covenanted in some way to God. Would you explain a little bit about that? Because I think that's important for where we're going today on the program.
Yes. Well, looking at it biblically, every nation is in covenant with God. Going back to Psalm chapter 2, they may not know it, but the nations are to bow down and worship the sun, lest he become angry, and they perish in the way.
Mm.
And so the truth is that nations either live in covenant with God for blessing, or they live in covenant against God for a curse.
Mm.
There's such a thing as a neutral nation. And so America was the first nation of its kind, really, in the history of the world, that had its very foundations laid in covenant, beginning with 400 years ago, the Jamestown Covenant, which was the original charter to the glory of God to reach the heathen for Christ. That was exactly 400 years ago, May 13th, that the Jamestown colony was settled. And then the pilgrims, of course, were more systematic in their development of government because they had this biblical worldview that had been well-defined and developed by their pastor, John Robinson, and they understood the concept of covenantal government or compact theory of government, and they wrote, when they were up off the coast of New England in November of 1620, they wrote the Mayflower Compact, or Covenant, which in many ways became the foundation for the Connecticut Constitution on up through the American Constitution. And it's a relationship with God, or a covenant, as our Declaration of Independence would say, with firm reliance upon, or dependence upon, divine providence. In other words, we depend upon God. We know that if we trust him, we'll be blessed. If we don't, we shall be cursed.
Yes, and not unlike the kind of thing we do when we take a marriage covenant, we promise to be faithful to this person. They effectively were doing the same thing at the outset of this nation. They were saying, our little commonwealth will be committed to walking in God's ways.
Absolutely, and that was providentially used, of course, to produced the greatest and richest nation and greatest empire the world has ever known, which allowed the foundation of the first missionary movement in the world that was paid and has brought liberty to a third of the world's population and brought the gospel to the third of the world's population over the past 200 years.
And I think I made the point earlier that these were some of the most self-consciously Christian, biblical Christians that had really lived to that point, and especially from Europe. You had Europe's very best, those who had come out of the Reformation. They were committed to God. They were committed to God's word. And they, many of them were persecuted, but they came here, and they founded a Christian nation at the beginning.
That's right. And there, we have to remember that for 1,500 years that the Bible had been hidden from the people. The English people had never had a Bible. They had a Jerome Bible from the 4th century that was in Latin, and they couldn't read Latin, barely English. And finally, with the Geneva Bible in 1560, the English were given, and when Elizabeth came to the throne, she allowed it in. A Bible was small enough, it only cost you 2 years' wages, and every Pilgrim, Puritan-type person who loved God bought a Bible, and then for the first time in the history of mankind, people actually studied the Bible in their home. People don't understand. We take for granted the idea that you can study the Bible, have Bible studies, but nobody had that until about 1560 in England, and within 30 years, England had become a people of the book. Shakespeare was born, and Shakespearean English and Christian thinking and the Puritans, and by the time you get to the Pilgrims, England has gone from the backwater of history, a bunch of scumbags who died at the age of 30 with no teeth, to the center of civilization and the bringing of some of the greatest culture the world's ever known. That happened because of the unleashing of the Bible. And it's from that unleashing of the scriptures that these people came to America and applied the scriptures then to places such as civil government.
Well, folks, I think we've established for you already that America has a tremendous heritage, a Christian heritage. But now let's fast forward 200 years, 400 years in the future, and here we sit, Marshall, in the year 2007, where I'm wondering if we broke covenant. It's hard to find anybody today who wants to teach the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God in the public schools. We've dragged all the gods into the pantheon. All the gods are equal in American public institutions. Certainly not Yahweh or the triune God of the scriptures. He certainly isn't honored and worshipped and adored as the one true and only God. We've more or less trashed our heritage. Have we really broken covenant at this point?
Oh, absolutely. And the result of that is judgment, which is falling upon our people in a mass way. We're losing our country to mass immigration. We are losing our country to phony economic systems, socialism, working with our free enterprise Christian heritage. In every way, we're breaking covenant with God. Our morality, our families are falling apart. And so there's only one way out of this dilemma, and that is a radical turning back to God and to his principles, which, by God's grace, has happened 4 times in American history. So this it would not be unprecedented for us to return to the God of our fathers. And that's what we've been praying for, and you and I have been working for many years. Mayflower Institute has been around since 1976, and that's been our goal, to see Americans wake up to the facts that we are in covenant with God, we are breaking those covenants, and that we need to go back and restore and renew and do the first things, and then God will bless us again.
Back in June, Marshall, you wrote an article that caught my eye on your website, America at the Tipping Point. What do you mean by that? Why don't you explain what you mean by America at the Tipping Point?
Well, we're right at that tipping point where you go over the cliff as a country and you lose your liberty and you are given into bondage. You see it in Joel and various passages where God is a gracious God who allows, he judges his people in gradual steps and disciplines them to bring them back. By God's grace, he hasn't used the flood on us yet. But the truth is that we must repent, otherwise we'll get past the tipping point where like in Amos, literally the foreign powers come in and take over your liberty, and you are no longer a nation. And that's what I'm afraid will happen to America. If we continue on our path, there will be no America as we know it. Pat Buchanan's new book that he just came out with, I think, details that very well. He has no real answers, but he has a great analysis of the fact that we are losing our republic. And the reason we're losing our republic is not because we have voted Democrat or Republican. It is because we have lost an understanding of God and his word, and we're not living it out in our homes and our families, and then we're not voting it into office.
Yeah, I think Pat Buchanan is a little discouraged about the whole thing. You don't sound as discouraged as Pat. It sounds to me like you think this nation is salvageable.
Oh, absolutely. this is the greatest period of evangelical explosion the world has ever known. We have to remember that when World War II came along, England, for example, had the greatest empire the world ever knew at the beginning of the 20th century. It was beginning to decay and rot, and Adolf Hitler almost destroyed them, if you remember, in 1940. And then God raised up a man named Winston Churchill, and by God's grace, the people of England got on their knees. In fact, they got on their face for days at a time and cried out to God, and God saved them. And so what we see that happening in England 50 years ago, it is happening again today all over the world, as the greatest evangelistic explosion the world has ever known has taken place over the last 50 years. Now the developing world has expanded to the extent that they're coming to know Christ in a massive way as a result of the missionary movement in England and America, and they're coming back to evangelize us. D'Souza points out in his new book that China will become the next great Christian nation of the world within a couple of decades. And this is happening in Africa, it's happening in South America, in Asia, and so we're seeing Christianity sweep the world. It's just that we in America and Europe have forgotten our Christian roots.
And yet, if we are to salvage a free nation, a nation that is founded on the kind of principles we were founded on originally, I'm wondering if there's any other nation that has as much promise as this one still. You know, we have more of a sense of that heritage here than any other nation I know of, at least in terms of how to organize a nation on the sorts of principles that this nation was organized on.
Exactly. That's the beauty of America, is that we have the Constitution. We have the basic institutions of government that people like the Soviet Union, now Russia turning back to the Soviet Union, and of many of these new emerging countries have never had the privilege of a biblical form of institutions that we had. We have forgotten more Christianity than most of these people have ever thought of learning.
Yeah.
And so Christianity in America is strong, but to whom much is given, much is required. And so what we need to do is to blow the breath of the Spirit back into our constitutional documents, and an understanding of the love of God, an understanding of what it means to obey God without being forced to. And that needs to be spread now throughout our land from the grassroots. And this goes back to homeschooling. This goes back to our families and to the baby boomers as grandparents who need to rise up as truly grandparents and train their children in the mighty deeds of God and how we can restore this land once again. That is the way we're going to do it, from the grassroots, from the bottom up, against all odds. And that's the name of my new book and my tape series. I have a DVD 12-part series that will be coming out in February, From Terror to Triumph, How We Can Win Against All Odds, and a book of a similar title, How We Can Win Against All Odds. And there's no doubt about it that history proves that God's kingdom is victorious, but it's victorious the way God wanted it to be victorious, from the bottom up, grassroots, taking the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And that gives God the glory rather than one man or one country. So God wants us to become continue to be the fountainhead of evangelical Christianity. America can still be that fountainhead. We still have more missionaries. We still fund the missionary movement of the world. And by God's grace, that will continue if we repent, if we turn back and rediscover our vision and get away from this rapture fever, the end is near, there's no hope for us mentality, which gears us into one generation rather than thinking generationally that God is a great God who may carry for another 1,000 years.
Marshall, let's take a look at your life and ministry. You've been at this battle for a long time. You started back in the 1970s, as it were, a prophet crying in the wilderness. But now, fast forward over 20 years, the homosexual issue has gotten far worse. Government spending now exceeds what it did in the 1980s, at least as a percentage of the gross national income. Witchcraft, I think as you point out in your article, witchcraft is now celebrated amongst our youth. There are more children born without fathers, up to 37%, up from 6% in the 1960s. So, you know, have we made any progress here? Are we losing ground?
Well, of course we are, because we've not repented and turned back, and so there's going to be continual lost ground. It's amazing that we still have any vestige of a republic left, but by God's grace, he's being gracious to us. The evangelical church has had to go through and is going through the throes of its own death, because much of the theology, much of the thinking of the church was wrong, and so it just was escapist. It wasn't dealing with the issues of the day. So what God is doing, as I see it, is that he is judging us, and he is preparing us for a new day of revival. But we shouldn't think of this as the end of our country. We should see this as the chastisement of God upon us and upon our children. And we should rise up and take the occasion to repent and to turn back. They did it in England and America after World War II, and they saw the providences of God in all of the battles. And the greatest evangelistic explosion in the history of the world took place between 1945 and 1956. Most people don't know that, but they had C.S. Lewis on the BBC putting the English people to bed for 10 years after World War II, reading the Psalms to them and preaching a sermon every night.
Wow.
And, you know, so that's how close we are to revival.
Mm-hmm.
I see the day coming when great ministers of the gospel will be putting people to bed at 9 or 10 o'clock with airwaves going off.
Instead of Howard Stern.
Instead of Howard Stern. Yeah, that's going to happen again. And the great works of art, the great works of culture are going to be restored and established, not only here, but around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I see the kingdom growing. I see it happening in nations throughout the world as people are calling and relating to our materials and work. And so I am very encouraged in the long run. We just have to settle in and trust God and repent of our sins.
Marshall, let's take a look at the remnant at this point. What's happening with the remnant? As the world has been getting worse in some ways, God is still at work, and I am seeing a growing remnant that I think will become a Gideon's band. Is that what you see as well?
Absolutely. And we must remember that it is always a small band. The Reformation was started by one man, Martin Luther, and then there were 30, and they stood against the divine right of kings and all the armies of the earth. How could they have converted 60% of all of Europe within a 50-year period? It happened by the power of his word, by the power of the printing press, and the power of their faith. And so it just takes a small, small minority. And this is true throughout history, that it is the remnant. The remnant that gets serious about God, and then we trust him, and we don't get discouraged. We look at the fact that God is sovereign, not that man is sovereign. Hillary Clinton doesn't rule anything. And neither does any other politician. God rules it all.
And when you're down to 300 men, it's David against Goliath, you're really optimistic because God does really well when the odds are stacked.
Well, absolutely. And that's where, you know, it's just a matter of knowing the truth, living the truth, and loving God and his truth. And the truth will prevail.
Yeah.
We have God on our side, you know.
Yes.
So let's not cry in our root beer here.
Yeah.
About the sins of our age. Let's reach out to those people that are lost in sin. Let's reach them evangelistically. Let's reach them with the truth by living it out in our homes so that it shows in our families and it shines from our life. And that's going to be so obvious that I believe that millions will be converted in the coming year. So great days lie ahead.
Yes.
And especially as America goes under greater judgment, because then people will turn back. One of my great mentors told me, get ready because the world is going to be turned like a buffalo herd and it's going to run right over you. But are you going to have the character, the family, the love for God to be able to minister to them when they run back into the church?
Yeah, exactly. All right, Marshall, let's talk to the average family listening to this program right now. What do they do to gain a vision? What do they do to get that vision for our heritage and a vision for the future at the same time? What do they do right now to get that vision?
Well, it starts with the Word of God, doesn't it? That every morning we need to be in His Word. My wife and I are with the Psalms this morning, and how can you listen to Psalm 139 and not be encouraged that He knew us, you know, before we were even in our mother's womb? To not be in the Word every day is to not be transformed. And so it begins with something that George Barna says 90% of all Christians do not do, and that is they don't read the Word.
Yeah.
If you're not in the Word of God, if you're not studying the Word of God, but not just studying it, but letting the Word of God come to you and transform you, bow before the Word daily as a family and as an individual, then there really is no hope of reformation. But with the Word, then God will direct us, and the Bible tells us it'll be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path.
There is a supreme irony here, Marshall, and that is that during the Reformation, these guys would give 2 years' salary to get a Bible. Today we can get it for $5, but nobody reads it.
Absolutely. We've got 18 versions and nobody reads it.
Yeah.
And so it is the power of God unto salvation. It is absolutely, without the Word of God, there will be no Reformation. So it begins right there, and then from there, we believe Him and trust Him. This is where knowing our heritage comes in. Because we are to remind each other of the mighty deeds of God. That's what I've dedicated my life to do, is to teach the people of God the mighty deeds of God so that they will not lose heart. And that's what the Psalms do. But then from the Psalms, remember, God, what has God done since the Bible has been completed? We need to know what God has done, because God's going to hold us accountable then for all the mighty deeds that he has done. And we are not to go back and forget what he has done, but we're to build upon it. The kingdom is a building block. And so unless you remember the foundations that have been laid, you're going to go back to the beginning and start all over again. And so we need to remember the mighty deeds of God, and that would be teaching your children the great history of God and his power through time to defeat his enemies and to bring in his kingdom. That story is the story we tell, you tell, that we need to get out in every possible form.
And I want to recommend Marshall Foster's resources at MayflowerInstitute.com. You've got to get a vision, folks, for the mighty deeds of God in our own history. That's critical for a good education for your children. And let me, again, recommend Marshall Foster's resources at MayflowerInstitute.com. And Marshall, thanks so much for sharing just a piece of vision with our audience today.
No problem. It was a joy to be with you. Look forward to seeing you sometime soon, Kevin.
And God bless you. Again, folks, I can think of hardly anybody who will tell the mighty deeds of God in our history better than my friend Dr. Marshall Foster. And for his resources, you need to go to MayflowerInstitute.com right now. That's MayflowerInstitute.com. And you can interact with this program by emailing me at host@KevinSwanson.com. And you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at KevinSwanson.com. Be sure to visit our new website, GenerationsWithVision.com. And this is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time to tell the heritage of this nation and to lay down a vision for the next generation.